Bear hugs. That's what he gives bears. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Duck.
Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Viola. He is Stephen Labadie. We have Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis, and of course, that little musical interlude means that we've got the man himself, the Doc, we call him here on Outdoor Journal Radio. His name is Gord Pizer. He is the guru, in my opinion, at Outdoor Canada Magazine. He is the fishing editor, award-winning fishing editor, if I may just add. And he joins us now live from probably from home, or he might be on the lake, or he might be in some other part of Northern Ontario other than Kenora. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great, Ange. How about you?
Wonderful. Thank you. I'm batching it this weekend, buddy.
Oh, how do you know? You mean at home?
Yeah.
Oh.
The Countess is away.
And the village now, is idiot, that good or bad?
The village idiot will play, as they say, you know? So I was telling the folks this morning when I came on the air, you know, it's a perfect sign that I'm on my own, right? And we, as adult males, we always get offended when our significant others, you know, try and steer us in the right direction, right? And,
yeah.
We always get offended when they say stuff like, oh, you're not going like that, are you? You know, and my standard comment is, I say to my lovely wife, I say, it's a wonder I have survived all of these years. It's a wonder, because clearly I'm an idiot, right? Well, guess what? Guess what I did this morning, Gordy?
Oh, no.
I woke up, ran out, got into my truck, came to the studio in snow, and I have no jacket on. It dawned on me halfway here, I had no jacket on.
Oh Lord. God.
I rest my case, Your Honor.
But you know, Ange, listening to you, the funny thing is with my grandson, Liam, he's at that same stage now. Yeah. And so I'm backing up in the driveway with the boat or the snow, and he's giving me instructions, and I'm like, how did I do this for 50 years without you to tell me how to drive?
It's so true. I don't know what happens as we mature at a time when we are at the top of our game. Our peeps don't have confidence in us anymore.
No.
I don't know what it is. Anyways, fun times. Now, we've got snow coming down here in this part of the world. How's it looking up in the Kenora district?
Unbelievably gorgeous, Ange. Oh. We have not had a spring rain yet this year. Okay. We have had 2 weeks of blue sky. We had a couple days this week that were into the 20, just touching 20.
Wow.
We were ice fishing last weekend. I guarantee I'll be in my boat next weekend.
Really?
You know, the funny thing that I think a lot of people, too, don't realize about Northern Ontario, I know you know this, we almost don't have spring and fall. We seem to have two seasons, and we jump from winter to summer and summer to winter.
So you say you might be fishing out of your boat in a week to 10 days, and I'm assuming what is open up there in 10 days in terms of species?
It's better to ask what's not open. The only thing that's closed is walleye.
No kidding.
And that's, again, very typical of Northern Ontario, especially north central, northwest. So much water, relatively speaking, so few people that, you know, northern pikes open, lake trout's open, all speckles, rainbows that are stocked. The steelhead around the Great Lakes, Superior, it's open. Smallmouth, largemouth catch and release until July 1st. But crappies, they'll be the crappie and perch fishing will be phenomenal next weekend, I think. But I've got a buddy, and I don't know where they found it, but they found a little lake on Thursday, I guess it was. And they launched the boat and went smallmouth fishing.
Wow. How was it?
Very good.
Yeah.
This is such a good time of the year. And I know that walleye, you know, the month of May in Ontario is walleye time. And the neat thing about it is they haven't been pressured for the, especially down in your area.
Yeah.
Our season goes here till April the 15th, but in your area it closes a bit earlier. So they haven't been pressured for a month, month and a half now. And when opening day rolls around, it's like they haven't seen a bait. They, relatively speaking, the easiest time of the year to catch them.
I call that, they're dopey at that time of year, aren't they, the fish?
Exactly, Ange. That's a really good term.
They're dopey. I mean, I love it. For me, it's perfect.
Obviously. A couple of dopes were out there fishing for them.
Exactly. If the shoe fits. All right. So let's talk about that early season fishing time of year. You know, we're going to have hundreds of thousands of people throughout the province experiencing fishing, maybe for the first time as the seasons open. Maybe, you know, the second year that they're doing it, or they could be seasoned veterans and pros. Give us, if you can, sort of an overview on preparing for the opening season. What do you do early in the season? How do you get ready for the upcoming excitement that's going to happen here shortly?
Yeah, you know, we all know in Ontario what happens walleye season. It starts from south to north, and the walleye season always opens the first weekend of May, central Ontario the second weekend of May, and then in the rest of the province, the north, the third weekend of May. And I mean, now's the time, Ange. Dig out your rods. Don't wait till the night before. You know, if the season opens at midnight on Friday next week down in southern Ontario, right down in the kind of southeastern and along the Bay of Quinte, don't wait till Friday night to dig your rod out. Put fresh line on it. If it needs to be serviced, grease it, oil it, that sort of thing. Do all of that now. Get new leaders on. This is the time of the year, especially for walleye. This is jig season. Opening week or two, nothing beats a jig and a live minnow. The colder the water, the better minnows perform. So this is prime time for jig and minnow. Sharpen your hooks, get them all ready, and be ready to go once that season opens. The other neat thing, though, Ange, talking about younger folks and people who may not have fished a lot before, this is a spectacular time of the year as well for walleyes that you can catch them from shore.
Exactly. That's why I'm excited about this time of season. It opens the doors up to a much broader, less hardcore user, and that always excites me because it's an opportunity for young kids especially to get involved. Maybe, you know, new Canadians who don't have an opportunity. They don't come from a country where walleye fishing or fishing in general was a great pastime. Well, this is the perfect time of year where everybody, and we could truly be all inclusive in our fishing this time of year, because you're right, a lot of shore opportunities, and that's always exciting.
And you know, Ange, if you're one of those shore anglers, and this is the way I always explain it to people, early in the spring, watch what the guys in the boats are doing. You know, around the Kawarth is probably the most prominent spot underneath the lock systems and the current areas. What they do, what the fish are doing, is they love current, yes, but they don't love that heavy, heavy current. So where is the slackest? You know, where are those back eddies and slight eddy and current breaks? They're all tight to shore. So the guys in the boats are almost fishing up on shore. And it really is a one time of the year when you're almost every bit accessible to the fish when you're fishing from shore. You're fishing in the same spots as the guys in the boat are trying to be at.
I was just going to comment on that. It's funny how you and I think alike. There is a time of year, and this is it, where there is an advantage to being on shore, and that is moving your bait from deep to shallow as opposed from shallow to deep. If there's a time of year where that works, more often than not, it's this period, this opening season period, almost to the point where it's a disadvantage to be out in a boat, isn't it?
You know, there have been days, I this is the honest truth. Now, it was for crappie fishing, which is really good at this time of the year as well. We have been so close to shore, Ange, and done so well on those pencil reeds and fallen trees and boat docks that we have actually pulled the boat up on shore, got out on shore, and actually walked down the shore and fished.
It's true. Pete and I, last year, we were to an example of that. We actually backed the boat up as close as we could, and we put the power poles down and just held the boat, the back end of the boat, with the motor trimmed up. We were literally, the transom was literally on solid ground. And we used the power poles to hold the boat in position, and we fished off the nose of the boat. And it was fantastic because it offered us the opportunity to drag baits up the point as opposed to down. And it was
exactly
dynamite, absolutely dynamite.
And when you put the power poles down, and you're totally locked. But
yeah,
what you're doing is, in effect, you're fishing off a dock.
Off a dock, exactly. And we do that. We discovered that a few years ago, fishing for carp, which is, as you know, predominantly fish from shore. But we kind of like the comforts and whatnot of our boat. So even when we can fish from shore for carp, a lot of times we'll do the same thing with FNC. We'll back her up to the shore, drop the power poles down. Now we got this beautiful platform with all the conveniences and whatnot that we can just fish for carp as well.
I'll tell you another little secret about, and this works both for boats, but it's even better for the shore-bound angler. And it's really funny. I'll tell a tale out of school here because Bob Sexton at Outdoor Canada, we're working on a really, really cool piece that's going to come out in the summer edition. But it's about floats and bobbers. And Bob said something about inexperienced anglers and bobbers. And I said, whoa, wait a second. Don't you ever equate floats and bobbers with inexperienced fishermen. There's not a good steelhead angler in Canada who doesn't use a float. And the walleye guys and the crappie guys fishing from shore, kids or first-time anglers, you put on a slip float or a fixed float, and you know this, Ange, from your steelhead days, there is nothing that makes it more snag-free because you can set your bobber, you know, just to drift your bait a couple of inches above the bottom right into a walleye's face.
Oh, for sure. Listen, some of the best walleye anglers I know would never dream of not having a rig tied up with a slip sinker or a slip bobber.
Absolutely.
Not a chance. So it still is a very problem. How about rod lengths and flex and line size this time of year, Gord? Do you go extra light a little more than normal?
You know, to be honest, I don't, Ange. This is the one time I almost get a little annoyed with medium action because everybody tends to gravitate to medium and they think, you know, well, that's in between, so I don't have to worry about heavy or medium heavy or light, medium light. But you know what? This probably is the one time of year in the spring when a medium action rod, 7 foot is probably the standard. But if you've got a good 7 foot medium action rod, I do like with a fast tip, not overly parabolic, but a medium action rigged with 6 to 8 to 10 pound, depending on the size of the fish. It's pretty hard to beat that.
Yeah, it's pretty much standard. And are you big on matching the line to the situation? In other words, do you go out armed with some monofilament? Do you go out with braid? Do you go out with carb? Like, how do you figure out this whole line situation?
I have to be honest, the more and more over the past probably decade, I have gravitated probably close to 90% now with braid mainline. So a 6 pound, 8 pound test braided mainline. If the water is super, super clear, I might use fluorocarbon. But I think fluorocarbon is a way overdone for most, especially starting out anglers and young kids. You put on a 18 to 24 to 36 inch monofilament leader of 6 to 8 pound test, and that's almost unbeatable. And you know, if you can't tie back to back uni knots, put on a tiny swivel, just a light swivel, and then connect your main line to that monofilament fluorocarbon leader, a jig. Forget about the snaps and the leaders. Just tie that jig direct to your monofilament. You put on a lively minnow, you're going to catch as many walleye as the experts.
Well done, my friend. There you go. That is worth the price of admission, as I say each and every week here on the program. By the way, all of Gord's wisdom is available via blog and all kinds of stuff that he's doing at Outdoor Canada Magazine on the Ontario portals, and also on fishingcanada.com now. So you can have your fill of the dock every single day of the week and never miss another exciting piece of information. What's happening this weekend, my friend?
You know, we're right in that in-between. I actually had the boat out the other day. I've got it vacuumed. I'm going to polish it today. And next weekend, it's going to be in the water.
Oh, wow. Sounds fantastic, buddy. Have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we will talk to you next Saturday.
And you find your coat.
Oh, I will. Don't you worry. Gord Peiser, we call him the Doc. He's with Outdoor Canada Magazine. If you don't have a subscription to that publication, shame on you. Change all of that. Go to outdoorcanada.ca. Tell them the Doc sent you, and they'll sign you up and make something good happen. You can also read them on fishingcanada.com, as I just mentioned. I want to remind everybody, 9.9 Mercury Motor giveaway. Don't miss out. There's 8 left. Go to fishingcanada.com. That's fishingcanada.com. Push the enter button. Get a ballot in the box each and every 24-hour period. That's a day, by the way, if you're wondering. And you, too, could win. Next draw is May 15th. That are it, Stephen. On behalf of the entire Outdoor Journal team, Stephen Labadie behind the glass, Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis, and, of course, our producer, JW, John Winters. I'm Angelo Viola. Have a great weekend, folks. Talk to you next Saturday.